Good morning, church. It's great to be with you today, and it's a privilege to be able to have the opportunity to bring God's word today. Just make sure I get my notes. I just wanted to say that today, I want us to kind of spend some time looking forward. So, just give me a second here. I want to spend some time looking forward. Now, tomorrow is the day that they tell us what's happening, right? So, tomorrow is supposed to be Freedom Day. And it's a day that a lot of people across the country are kind of looking forward to for different reasons. So some people are looking forward to the theaters coming back open. Some people are looking forward to being able to sing. And, you know, people are looking forward to all sorts of different things as the restrictions get lifted. And it kind of got me thinking about what we as a church might be looking forward to. And I remember when kind of Dave introduced the Better Together series, he spoke a lot about sort of distractions. And today I want to make sure that we are kind of focusing. So I've actually chosen a very small verse in the Bible. So I would really want you all to kind of stay with me today and focus on this very simple verse. So just so you're aware, today is going to be very different. This is all you need to learn today. So for those of you who would normally take notes, don't worry, you can just put your notebooks away. You just focus on me, just focus on my words, just concentrate today. And also, there's always the recording to go back to in case you need to take any notes later on. But I want you to really sort of give me your full attention just for the few minutes that we have together today, okay? Cool. So before I introduce the verse, I want you to kind of sharpen your imagination, because it's going to be very important to all of us today that you're able to imagine. So I'm going to ask you a question. And that question is, where outside of your home have you ever felt at home? Okay, so I'll repeat it again. Where outside your home have you ever felt at home? Now, I asked my wife this in preparation for the talk today, and she reminded me of when we went on holiday a few years ago to Spain. And our two girls were quite little then, 4 and 1.5 years old at the time. And obviously, as you can imagine, when you are away with two little children, you kind of obviously know that you're not at home, because there are certain requirements that kids have that help you to kind of remember that you're not at home. And in normal times, at this point would be where I'll kind of point to the slide and show you some cute pictures of the little girls when they were young. But don't forget, today we're staying focused, right? So no pictures on the slide. We're going to just imagine. So actually, I remember that the resort that we were in kind of did a lot of work to make sure that we felt at home. And it actually worked, because we really felt at home, even though we were quite conscious of the fact that we were not at home. We were miles away from home. So I think it's time now for me to kind of introduce the verse that we're going to go through today. It's a verse from the Psalms, and in the New King James Version is Psalm 122 and verse 1. And I'll read it. Yeah, there you go. I'll read it for you. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." So the Psalms is basically a collection of writings and songs and poems and things like that from mostly King David. And they were written thousands of years ago. But what I found interesting is they are still very popular among Christians today, and they're still very relevant today. And I think the reason is because David kind of had this way, right? He had this way of sharing and verbalizing his emotions that we kind of all can identify with at different times. And that's true even today. So if I look at our psalm, we kind of start off with David saying, "I was glad." And obviously the word glad actually means feeling happy. But I didn't really think that this word was really sort of encapsulating what David was trying to say, you know. So I started to think about other words that I kind of might have been able to use there instead of the word glad. And I thought, maybe you could say I was thrilled, right? I might sound a little bit better. I'm glad, I guess, maybe. Not sure. And then I thought, I don't know, maybe you might say I was stoked. I don't know. That didn't do it for me and everything. So at this point, I got a bit desperate. So I kind of called my daughter and I said, "Oh, you know, what word would you use if, you know, you needed to tell your friends that you were glad or you were happy?" And she was like, "Words. We don't use words. They use emojis." I'm like, "Well, she's not going to be very helpful to me, is she?" So, as I said, normally at this point, I'll kind of maybe put an emoji up of a yippee or yay or ah or whatever it might be, right? But no, we're staying focused, right? We're staying focused. Good. So then I looked at the New International Version. And there was a different word there. And the word that they used was the word rejoiced. And I thought, I rejoiced. And I thought, yeah, that seems to encapsulate it a lot better. I rejoiced. So David was saying, I rejoiced when, right? And then I started to ask myself the obvious question, when was the last time, Kenneth, that you rejoiced, right? And I think it's interesting that lately we seem to spend a lot of time looking backwards, right? We find, for a lot of us, that we have this feeling of being kind of under the circumstances, right? So we talk a lot about the COVID times, you know, and everything. And I'm sure that some of us might be feeling like everything's working against us, you know. Maybe some of us are even beginning to get to that point where it's kind of getting to you now, you know. I'm tired of this. I kind of want to move on a little bit, right? There's that feeling. And the truth of the matter is that these are feelings that David himself also knew quite well. You know, the Psalms are just full of laments and sort of vivid expressions of David's suffering. So today I was kind of going to avoid any kind of references to the Euros, obviously. In that sort of 2 days, we had the highs of being into our first final for 50 odd years, and the maybe lows of losing that final to the Italians. It's taken me a week to get over it. But as you can see, I'm over it, right? I'm over it. I've kind of moved on. But that's, I guess, the point of talking about the Psalms. The beauty of the Psalms is that David was able to express everything, right? So sometimes he expressed when he was feeling great, and other times he expressed when he was not so great, and everything. But in this particular verse, David rejoiced. So David said, I was glad. His heart leapt. You know, he was looking forward to something. And I wonder sometimes if we can truly relate to that feeling, right? To that thrill. You know, I wonder if sometimes we find ourselves somewhere, but in fact, we're not there at all, right? Is it possible that we might have lost some of the thrill? Could it be that we no longer know how to rejoice? And this was one that kind of made me think, even before the COVID times, right? So I was imagining and going before then and thinking, when's the last time I rejoiced? You know? In Psalm 32 and 11, it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. That's an expression of David when he was talking about rejoicing. So Dave sort of preached to us a few weeks ago, and he said, we should really view our coming together as more of a feast than to look at it as a duty. And I think that was actually quite profound. I think he was onto something there. So David said, I was glad, right? So Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me. And that was a bit that, you know, kind of caught me. I said, sorry, who's the they, right? I was glad when they said to me. So I thought, who's the they, right? And I guess in this particular context, it really doesn't matter who the they are, you know? But it struck a chord with me because I realized that every single one of us has a they, right? There are the days that say to us, here's a list of other things that you could be doing today. There are the day of distractions from social media, people like me and sports, things like that, right? So there seems to be like a whole host of days and other voices that kind of speak to us every day. But then there should be another set of days, right? And I call these ones the right kind of days, right? So these are the days that encourage us to do things that will be profitable to our soul. Dave spoke about the early church. And when he read through Acts, he was talking about how they devoted themselves, right? They devoted themselves to the studying of God's word. And they encouraged each other to grow in the things of God. And I'm thinking, that's the day. That's the right kind of day. That's the day I'm looking for. So David was surrounded by a form of day. And I guess I want to encourage all of us to kind of examine our hearts a little bit as we recognize that there is a day that we're listening to. And we need to kind of ask ourselves, which of those days should we be listening to? You know? And I'm just praying that we will always surround ourselves with the right kind of day, the days that will encourage us. So I'll just keep moving. Psalm 122, verse 1. This is all we're learning today, so we keep focused. I was glad when they said to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. And very quickly, the next bit of the verse starts to talk about let us, right? And, you know, it's amazing how God kind of speaks to us. He can speak to us even from one single word, right? So when I heard let us, again, my mind started to wonder, it's like, hang on, what's that bit about, right? What's that trying to speak to us about? And it speaks about the actions of that those days, right? So it's saying, let us, right? So they did not just say, please go to church, or please read your Bible. Because I think these days there are so many people, so many days these days, that they love to tell you when you've done wrong. You know, there's so many days that want to kind of lecture you, right? But there are very few days these days that kind of want to mentor you, you know? There are very few days that want to lead by example. There were very few days that are actually on us. This set of days say, let us. They say, like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. They didn't just encourage us in words, but they encourage us in actions. They want to walk alongside us. And my prayer is really that we all surround ourselves by the days that are actually an us. Okay? All right. Now let's kind of keep focused, going back to our verse again. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So a little bit earlier, I kind of asked you all, I said, where outside your home have you ever felt at home? And I think I kind of want to make sure that, you know, you keep your imagination going here. And we're not getting distracted. So we're putting all distractions aside. And we're just focusing on that. Where outside your home have you ever felt at home? Or we can basically, in a different way, where do you most feel at home that is outside your home? And from this verse, we can kind of see that David had this longing, right? And it was the longing that actually, if you know his story, it's not something that actually ended up seeing fulfilled in all of his life. And the longing that he had was a longing to build a house for the Lord. David loved the Lord and he wanted to build a house for the Lord. He longed to kind of build a home for God. And so that's why David rejoiced. That's why he was thrilled. That's why his heart leapt when the time came for what he was looking forward to, when the time came for him to visit God at his home. David is often described in the Bible as a man after God's heart. And no wonder, right? When you remember that he wrote, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Now, if I was like Carney, I'd, you know, probably start singing now, because Carney's got a great voice. But don't worry, we need to stay focused. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to embarrass myself or you. But what I found interesting about David's heart as well was when I started looking through, and we have to also remember that Jesus was descended from the house of David, right? So Jesus was a descendant from David, and David said, I was glad when they said to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. So I guess the question is, you know, what is the house of the Lord? Or maybe I should say, where is the house of the Lord, right? Where do you feel most at home? And in the Gospel of Luke wrote about Jesus, and he talked about when Jesus was 12 years old, and he went with his parents to Jerusalem, and he got missing, you know. And it reminded me of when I went to the shops with one of my girls, and please don't tell my wife, but one of them got missing. Not for long, it was only for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I was panicking, running all over the place trying to find this little girl. And obviously she was completely oblivious to the fact that I was worried when I eventually found her. And I just thought about Jesus' parents. They were not looking for like 5 minutes like I was. They were looking for days, right? And they were looking everywhere. And I'm sure they must have been absolutely frantic as they were running around looking for Jesus. And I guess in my case, she kind of got lost in Tesco's, which is quite big, but it's not that big. Whereas they just didn't know where he was at all. And I thought it was quite funny, because when they finally found him in the temple, Jesus said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? You know? I'm pretty sure, as my daughter was completely oblivious to my frantic nature, kind of felt a little bit like that to me. But Jesus found for himself a home, and it was a home away from his home. And so he found that home in the temple at the time. And so that's why he felt so comfortable there, that he was discussing with the elders and the Pharisees at the time. And they were all sort of surprised about how comfortable he was with the scriptures and everything else. But there was also another account about Jesus. But this time Jesus was kind of filled with anger. And he spoke about where he sat down and he took his time and he made this whip. And when he had finished making the whip, he kind of used it and chased all the moneylenders out of the temple by himself. And then he declared, "My house shall be a house of prayer." So Jesus had a love for the house of God. He felt at home there. And as I was thinking that through, I then remembered another account of Jesus, and this was years later. And this was where he went back to his hometown in Nazareth. And when he went, he stepped into the local temple there, and he read. He read from the scroll of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to set at liberty those that are held captive, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I think it was very sad that after Jesus did this, he was basically run out of town by the people of his hometown. And I started to kind of wonder, you know, how could they have got it so wrong? How could they have not kind of recognized what was happening? And so in those simple words, Jesus declared the year of Jubilee. To the Jews, Jubilee is actually a very special anniversary. It's the year of celebration. It's the year of celebration from the release of from slavery. So it actually means a celebration of restoration, right? So we remember that, you know, God promised them that he was going to take them out of their slavery, take them out of their misery, and he was going to bring them into a new home, as it were, a new land, a place where they can be free. And so again, I started to think that tomorrow has been termed sort of Freedom Day, right? A day that, you know, people all over the country are looking forward to. A day where all sort of restrictions are going to be lifted. And then I started thinking, I'm also looking forward to Freedom Day. And my Freedom Day There's a day where all spiritual restrictions will be lifted. There's a day where we can cast off our masks and we can celebrate our God. That's the day I'm looking forward to. There's a day where we don't have to be distant anymore, but we have the opportunity to be called and become an us again. That's the day I'm looking forward to. It's a day where we can devote ourselves to gathering together again. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I'm thrilled. You know, I'm happy. I rejoice when I think about that. You know, and I know, you know, there are a lot of things that are not perfect about, you know, the way things are being done right now. But I'm just asking you to kind of imagine, to look forward, to think with your mind's eye. What would that day look like for you? I'm really looking forward to gathering in the house of celebration. When we worship God freely, where we really seek Him. You know, the psalmist, as I said, was really good at expressing those kind of feelings. And he wrote things like, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. I'm looking forward to gathering in a house of freedom. I'm looking forward to gathering in a house of jubilee. David said, I was glad, I rejoiced, I was thrilled when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. His house is a house of freedom. His house is a house of restoration. His house is a house of celebration. And I want you to know that his house is the house of jubilee. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. It's such a privilege, Almighty God, to gather in your house. To gather in your presence, to have the opportunity to relate to you. Lord, we are all looking forward, oh God. We're looking forward to the day where we can gather together with you. We're looking forward to the day where we, Almighty God, can experience you working your miracles all around us, Almighty God. We're looking forward to restoration. We're looking forward to freedom. We're looking forward to the house of jubilee. Amen.